Jesus died on that Good Friday. They took his lifeless body down from the tree on which he was crucified. They laid the corpse of the Lord Jesus Christ in a stone-cold tomb. And on that day, the disciples experienced life without Jesus. What if it had ended there?
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, we can't let that question just hang out there like that. What if it had ended there?
Well, if it had ended there, what would the disciples have had? They would have had great teaching, all the teaching of Jesus they had, they'd received it, and they would have had a great example.
Sure.
Now, here's the issue. There are many people who think that Christianity is about following the great teaching and the great example of Jesus. Well, you could do that without a resurrection.
Sure.
And so the great teaching, great example version of the faith actually misses the very center of the faith, which is that it's not simply about us making a gallant effort at following the teaching and example of Jesus. It is actually about the life of the risen Lord Jesus Christ coming into us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And boy, it's a wonderful thing, Steve, to see the life of a person who's been doing the great teaching, great example thing, suddenly coming to know Jesus by faith.
They
get it.
Yeah.
And there's life and there's joy, and it's not just a great effort that I'm making to live a good life, but it's the life of Jesus Christ lived in me. If we can see that change happening through the program today, then that'll be a huge answer to prayer.
Well, I hope that you will stay with us as we look at this together. We're in John chapter 14. As we begin a message, Jesus will remain with you. Here is Pastor Colin.
We're looking at some great promises of Jesus Christ, statements where he explicitly says that he will do something for us, his people. So we thought about the words of Jesus, "Come to me, all you who are weary," and he says, "I will give you rest." Or when he says, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Or where he says, "Whoever confesses me before my Father, I will confess him before my Father who is in heaven." We're going to look at two promises of our Lord Jesus today, both in John chapter 14. The first is in verse 16, where Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." That is the promise of the Holy Spirit. And then in John chapter 14 and verse 18, where Jesus makes a double commitment, he tells us something he won't do and then immediately something that he will do. You notice that Jesus says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." That is the promise of the resurrection. Now, our Lord Jesus spoke these marvelous words on the night before he was crucified. He had spent this evening with his disciples. They had eaten the Last Supper together. They had shared bread and wine, as we do in our service today. The words that are recorded that Jesus spoke in John chapter 14 right through chapter 17 would either have been spoken by Jesus at the Lord's Supper, or perhaps more likely would have been spoken by Jesus to the disciples as they were actually walking towards the Garden of Gethsemane. So I want you to try and get this picture in your mind. Jesus has already spoken to them about the imminence of his death. He said in chapter 13 and verse 33, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer." And when he says "only a little longer," get clear in your mind that Jesus was going to be taken from them that night. That night. He's now walking with them to Gethsemane. And his arrest and his trial and the flogging and the crucifixion are now only hours away. And Jesus, of course, had spoken to the disciples about his death before, but they had been confused about this. It seemed not to have registered with them. But now it seems at this moment, finally, it is beginning to dawn. And so as Jesus is walking towards Gethsemane, he speaks to them words that have brought comfort and strength to millions of people. The beginning of John chapter 14, you know these words well. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." He says, "Trust in God. trust also in me. Now we're going to spend, God willing, 2 weekends in John chapter 14 as we reflect on the resurrection of Jesus, the promise of the Holy Spirit, and then the promise of his second coming in power and in glory. Most of you will be familiar with the fact that in the Gospels, Jesus told his disciples 3 times about his death. In John 14, Jesus tells the disciples 3 times that he will come to them again. Do you notice that? If your Bible's open in front of you, verse 3, I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back, and I'll take you to be with me that you may also be where I am. I will come back. Verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Verse 23, Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So 3 times in this one chapter, on the very night when the Lord Jesus was betrayed, he tells the disciples that he will come to them. I'm going to be taken from you, he has said, but 3 times he says, I will come to you. And these 3 promises of Jesus coming are fulfilled first in his resurrection, second in the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then third in the day to which every Christian looks, the day of his second coming that still lies ahead of us. Verse 3 relates to the promise of Christ's second coming. We're going to look at that, God willing, next week. Verse 18 that we focus on tonight, the promise of the resurrection, and verse 16 and verse 23, the promise of the Holy Spirit. So we're taking the latter part of John chapter 14 first because it relates first to our experience. Jesus is risen. The Holy Spirit is given to every believer. And then next week, God willing, we'll look at what still lies in the future from the earlier part of the chapter, the promise of the second coming of Jesus. Now, what I hope and pray we'll be able to grasp tonight is how the promise of Jesus Christ is radically different from other brands of faith that many people today confuse with authentic Christianity. And I've coined 2 phrases that I hope will be helpful to us today. We're going to look at what I'll call orphan faith from verse 18 and the promise of the resurrection of Jesus. And then we're going to look at what I'll call non-invasive faith and the promise of the Holy Spirit. So I hope you have your Bible open. And let's begin at verse 18, where Jesus gives us this great promise, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Now, an orphan is obviously someone who loses both parents through death. And Jesus uses this experience of the orphan to describe what was about to happen to his own disciples. Jesus had been like a father to them. In fact, he refers in chapter 13 and verse 33 to them as his little children. Now he's going to be taken from the disciples. I want you to try and think what this was like for them. Their whole world at this moment was imploding. It had been 3 years since they had heard Jesus Christ say, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And you remember that they had left their nets. They had followed him. Christ had become the center of their world. The Lord Jesus Christ was the focus of their hope and their joy. And now the Lord Jesus says, I'm going to be taken from you. And they are going to enter into what Jesus describes as an orphan experience. And that is what happened on Good Friday. Jesus died on that Good Friday. They took his lifeless body down from the tree on which he was crucified. They laid the corpse of the Lord Jesus Christ in a stone-cold tomb. And on that day, the disciples experienced life without Jesus. Now, here's the question. What if it had ended there? What would these men have? What could these men have done? Now, there are some answers to that question. You see, if it had ended there, these men had the greatest teaching that this world has ever heard. Did they not? They had the teaching of Jesus. They had the Beatitudes. They had the Sermon on the Mount. They had a pattern to live by greater than any other pattern to live by that has ever been spoken in the history of the entire world. They had the teaching of Jesus, and they could have shared it with the world. More than that, they had the example of Jesus. These men had seen up close the only perfect life that has ever been lived in the entire history of this world. They had been moved, they had been inspired by the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm suggesting to you today that these men, therefore, were in a position to go out into the world and to say, "Let us tell you about Jesus. Let us share with you his teaching. We want to call you to obey this teaching. It is the greatest teaching that has ever been heard in the history of the world. We want to invite you to follow this man's example." And with this great teaching and with this great example, these men could have gone out into the world. They had enough to construct a faith that drew from Jesus but did not depend on him actually being there. And I call that orphan faith. A faith that draws inspiration from Jesus, that latches onto his teaching and commends its principles, but does not depend on him actually being there. And folks, I have to tell you, it's important to understand this, that orphan faith has massive appeal and is widely subscribed to in our culture. It is basically a personalized faith, custom built from selected words and actions of Jesus that seem meaningful to the individual today. You sort of take what you find helpful from words that Jesus said here and there, and you adopt it into your life. Orphan faith does not need a living Christ. Orphan faith brings a man or a woman under no obligation to a living Christ. That's why it's so popular, you see. And our culture is full of this kind of faith. Orphan faith, though, is not Christian faith.
What an important thing for us to understand and to have clear that orphan faith, as Pastor Cullen has been talking about, is not Christian faith. Well, you're listening to Open the Bible, and our message is called Jesus Will Remain With You. It's part of a larger series called Rock Solid, Seven Promises Christ Makes to You. And if you ever miss a broadcast in the series, come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. But whether you listen online, through the app, or on the radio, it's all made possible through your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you not one, but two copies of Pastor Cullen's new book called Christmas Stories. Now, this book takes a look at the story of the birth of Christ in the first person from the perspective of five different Bible characters: the angel Gabriel, Mary, Joseph, Simeon, even King Herod. And we'd love to send you not one, but two copies of this book, one for you, one to give away. Find out more and give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. Let's get back to the message. Again, here's Pastor Cullen.
Orphan faith is not Christian faith. Notice what Jesus says in verse 18, "I will not leave you as orphans." I will not leave you, Jesus says, to face the world with only my teaching and my example. I will come to you, he says, verse 18, so that Christian faith, authentic Christian faith, rests on the living presence of Jesus Christ in your life. That is why the resurrection is central to Christian faith. Let me pose this question. What do you feel about orphan faith? And many people find it very attractive. Just adopt the teachings of Jesus, you see. What you feel about orphan faith will say a very great deal about you. Back in the Old Testament, you remember this story. Moses tells us about a time in Exodus chapter 33 when there was a great breach between God and his people. Remember the story of how God's people had come to Sinai? Moses goes up the top of the mountain and God is speaking his words to Moses, writing them on the tablets of stone, and down the bottom of the mountain at the same time the people are sinning and rebelling against God. Moses comes down the mountain, you remember the story, smashes the tablets of stone and so forth and so on. Eventually Moses goes back up the mountain and he begins to pray for the people. He even offers his own life, asking God to forgive their sin. He says, "Oh God, please forgive their sin, but if not, blot me out of the book that you have written." And God says this to Moses. God says to Moses, this is Exodus 33 and verse 3, "Go up into the promised land." Then God says, "I will send an angel before you." Then God says, "But I will not go with you." Now, folks, that's quite an offer. If God said to you, you can go into the promised land, i.e., you can live in the land flowing with milk and honey, you can have a life of health and wealth and prosperity. If God said that to you, that'd get your attention. And if God said, in addition to a life of health and wealth and prosperity, I'm going to give you a guardian angel who will protect you and your family, that's quite an offer. And here's my question, would you settle for that? See, God made that offer to his people, and Moses says that when the people heard this, they began to mourn. They say, what in the world were they mourning about? God's just said to them, you can go into a land of milk and honey, you're going to live a prosperous life, I'll even have a guardian angel protect you and your family. What more do you want? Here's what more they wanted. They wanted the presence of God. And they mourned, because life with all its abundance without the presence of God was something that they knew could never satisfy their hearts. You know what? That was the finest hour of God's people, right there. John Piper has put this, I think, rather helpfully and provocatively by asking this question. If you could have just a good job, a good wife or husband, a couple of good kids, a nice car, long weekends, a few good friends, a fun retirement, a quick and easy death, and no hell, would you be satisfied? Would you settle for that? You see, there are folks all over our country with an orphan kind of faith who'd say, that's fine, that's everything I want right there. But not the disciples. Disciples of Jesus, when he's about to be taken from them, they're not looking at each other and saying, well, Jesus is gone now, but at least we've got each other. They're not saying, Jesus is gone now, but hey, we can still have ministry and change the world. They're not saying, hey, Jesus is gone now, but we can still have a good and a prosperous life. No, there is only one thing that will satisfy these men. And that is the presence of Christ with them. And Jesus says to them, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I will come to you. Notice he doesn't say you will not be orphans. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. This is the promise of the resurrection. You see what Jesus is saying? I'm going to die. You will go through this orphan experience, but it will not end there. I will not leave you there. You won't spend the rest of your life armed only with my teaching and with my example. I will rise from the dead. I will come to you. And this is the heart of true Christianity. It is so different from the orphan faith. The great promise of the gospel, folks, is Jesus Christ himself. I will come to you. Christ being taken from them was what was making them orphans. Only Christ returning to them was able to restore what was being lost. So Jesus doesn't say, look, I'm going to be taken from you, but it's okay, you still got forgiveness, you still got heaven. No, he doesn't say that, because no number of gifts could replace the presence of Jesus in their lives. This is the promise, I will come to you. And if Christ is with you, then you have every spiritual blessing in him. If you do not have Christ, then no blessing that you have in your life will be of ultimate or eternal value. Now, that takes us to a very important question. Jesus promises the supreme gift of his presence. And the question, I think, for us then is, how do we know the presence of Jesus in our lives? In what way, when he says, I will come to you, in what way is he with us? How does Jesus actually come to us? Jesus said to the disciples, I will come to you. And obviously he fulfilled that at Easter. But then after Easter, he returned to the Father in heaven. And so now the resurrection life of the Lord Jesus Christ is communicated to us by the Holy Spirit. And that is why it's so important that the promise of the resurrection in verse 18 is linked to the promise of the Holy Spirit that is given to us in verse 16. Look at what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. He says, I will ask of the Father, and he will give you another counselor. Another counselor. See, the disciples had Jesus as their counselor already. And when Jesus says another counselor, what he's saying is that the Father will give one who will be to the disciples all that Jesus has been to them, and will do for the disciples all that Jesus has done for them. And then he tells us right here in this verse who this other counselor is. He is the Spirit of Truth. That is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And Jesus says, he will be with you forever. So here is this wonderful truth that Jesus gives us as the great promise of his presence. The Lord Jesus Christ ascends to the right hand of the Father in heaven, but he is present with all his people by the Holy Spirit.
If you know Christ as your Savior, then that Spirit of God lives in you. And what an incredible thing to think about as we wrap up our time together. Our message is called Jesus Will Remain With You. It's part of a larger series, Rock Solid, all about seven promises that God makes to you. And what a promise for us to be thinking about today, that Jesus remains with us, his Spirit indwells us. And we're going to continue to unpack that next time of the broadcast. Hope you make it a point to tune in. If you ever miss a program, you can always listen online. Just come to our website, openthebible.org. Well, if you're a regular listener to Open the Bible, you know that we depend on your financial generosity to keep Pastor Cullen's teaching available on the station each day. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to offer you two copies of Pastor Cullen's new illustrated book called Christmas Stories. One copy for you, one to give away. And it tells the story of the birth of Christ from the perspective of five different Bible characters, from the angel Gabriel, Mary, Joseph, Simeon, even King Herod. And Colin, what is one thing that you would like people to take away from reading this book?
Well, I really hope and pray that when people read this, they will just have a fresh sense of wonder at what it meant for God to become a man in Christ Jesus, for the Lord Jesus to be born into the world and to become our Savior. It is indeed the greatest story ever told. And for it to be fresh and to be seen in its wonder is just a marvelous thing. But then I hope that having read it, people will take the opportunity to perhaps read one of these chapters at the dinner table at Christmas or at some other Christmas event where loved ones are gathered together. And you could just take this little book out, Christmas Stories, and you could say, let's take 5 minutes before we eat to read the Christmas story, or perhaps after the meal would be a good time to do it. It'll only take about 5 minutes at the most to read this, but it's a way of presenting to people you know and love, who may be in your home and celebrating Christmas with you, the good news of Jesus Christ, so that eyes may be directed to him.
Well, we want to send you two copies of this book, Christmas Stories, as our way of saying thank you for giving a gift to Open the Bible this month. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. Again, the website is openthebible.org and our phone number is 1-877-673-6365. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." God's word is the food that will nourish your soul. You need it every day. And Open the Bible Daily is a daily devotional that will open the Word of God and lead you to Jesus. It's available for free on our website, openthebible.org. For more information, visit openthebible.org/daily. That's openthebible.org/daily.